Finally today, a story about just how far people are willing to go for the love of music. I'm talking about the Soviet Union in the 1950s, a time when Western music was changing the world, but it was forbidden in Russia. Sneaking in a pile of records was dangerous, pressing your own vinyl almost impossible, but some industrious music fans found out that they could etch grooves into used x-rays, you know, pictures of bones, and the music would play. Let's listen, and imagine an x-rayed ribcage or ankle bone spinning on a turntable.
Lullaby of Birdland, that's what I'm always here when you sigh. Never in my wordland could there be ways to reveal in a phrase how I feel.
Not bad. Rudy Fuchs was one of the makers of these bootleg recordings that came to be called Bone Records.
I heard my first rock and roll, Rock Around the Clock. I would like to show that music, my friends. There is no magnetic tape, nothing else. And I try recording that handmade machine which I have.
Fuchs was interviewed for a forthcoming documentary by Stephen Coates.
1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock rock. It's not deeply anti-Soviet stuff. It's not deeply anything, is it? You know, but actually, of course, contained in it is this instruction, actually, to drop everything else and dance. And, of course, that was regarded as being deeply off message.
Stephen Coates fronts a band called The Real Tuesday Weld. During a tour stop in St. Petersburg a few years ago, he discovered one of the few remaining Bone records in a flea market, and ever since then, he's been obsessed.
We came across this stall, there's lots of strange things on it, and one of them I saw and I thought, is that a record or is it an x-ray? And I picked it up and it seemed to be both. And I asked my friends about it, my Russian friends, they didn't know anything about it whatsoever. The guy whose stall it was a bit dismissive. I think he wanted me to buy something else, you know. But I brought it back to London and I was fascinated by it, so I started to dig. And that has led me on a very strange journey.
Were they cut round like records are?
Yeah, so I mean, yeah. They would start off with a square or rectangular x-ray and then literally, you know, probably put a plate on it and draw around it with a pen and cut it out by hand. I mean, often the circumference is quite ragged.
What occurred to you to play it? I'm not sure I came across a scratched up x-ray in a flea market. You know, I have been known to buy a few things, but that it would occur to me to play it as a record.
Well, the thing is, it looks like a record. I mean, it's if you see these things, you know, they've got a hole in the middle, they've got a groove on them. It's often very faint because it's very shallow, the groove, but you can see there's a groove on there. It plays at 78. That was the first thing to find out. So you've got to play it on a record player with 78. It's only one-sided as well. So, but I found all these things out by discovery, you know, and went from there.
What can you tell us about how they figured out how to do this and how widespread this was?
Well, what happened was that it's, as you mentioned, it's 1946 or so. The Second World War is over, but a much colder war has begun. And in the Soviet Union, you know, a lot of culture was subject to a censor, would it be, you know, art, paintings, architecture, film, and of course music. And as you mentioned, American music, British music became forbidden because it was the music of the enemy. But also a lot of Russian music became forbidden. In St. Petersburg, Leningrad as it was then, a guy turned up and he had a war trophy with him. And that war trophy was what's called a recording lathe. It's like a gramophone in reverse. It's a device which you can use to write the grooves of music onto plastic. And then people who came into his shop observed what he was doing, and as is the Russian way, they bootlegged his machine and they made their own machines. And it was a bit like dealing or buying drugs, actually. You know, these records were bought and sold on street corners, you know, in dark alleyways, in the park. You know, you would go and you would meet the dealer. You could maybe ask for, like, Rock Around the Clock. But we did hear a funny thing, which was that if you asked for a particular song, say Rock Around the Clock, and the dealer didn't have it, quite often they would say, yeah, I've got that. And they would go in the corner and they would write Rock Around the Clock on one of their other records and bring it back and give it you. So there's lots of stories about people buying these records and getting home. And they may not even have known what Rock Around the Clock sounded like. So they go home and put it on and it could have been anything. And they were like, yeah, that's Bill Haley. It's great.
Do you recognize that one? What
it's
is that?
It's a mambo.
It's a mambo?
It's mambo Italiano, yeah.
You know, it's not bad, right? I mean, considering.
It's pretty good, isn't it? Yeah, I mean, they do vary in quality hugely. I mean, some were, you know, virtually unlistenable. But that didn't seem to matter, actually, in some ways. I mean, talking to people who bought these records when they were young, it was just this, even the tiniest thread of melody of this forbidden sound was so exciting, and it led to, you know, a different world, really, a world of freedom. Not obviously anti-Soviet, you would think. I mean, you know, why would that mambo be regarded as something worth forbidding?
You know, well, you're right. I was actually thinking that myself. Like, what's the deal with that? I mean, it opens up all kinds of questions about what people think is dangerous, doesn't it, right?
It really does. And of course, you know, it's obvious in some ways. You think, well, rock and roll, jazz, the music of America, the music of the UK. But with other stuff, it got very strange in the Soviet Union. I mean, Latin rhythms, the mambo, the tango, were forbidden because they were seen as being sort of overly sensuous, if you like, encouraging the wrong sort of passions in young people. I mean, the saxophone became forbidden for a while.
Wow. As a musician yourself, you have to be, I don't know, this gives you probably a lot of food for thought, right? About so many things, like what people consider okay and not okay, and how the lengths that people will go to, and just how important music is to people that they would go to such lengths.
Well, I think, you know, for me, the thing which is really poignant is that some of these people went to prison for doing this. They were punished quite severely for it. And, you know, this was a time when music mattered so much that people would risk that. They would risk public censure, they would risk imprisonment. And of course, we live in a time when you can get anything you want immediately. Music is abundant, and that's great, of course. But I wonder, as a musician, somebody makes music, how much does music matter now? You know, does it matter as much as it used to? And this was a time when it mattered immensely, and that's food for thought for all of us, I think.
Stephen Coates is a bone record enthusiast. He's the author of the book X-Ray Audio, The Strange Story of Soviet Music on the Bone. Mr. Coates, thanks so much for speaking with us.
It's a pleasure.
Когда мы были молоды, бродили мы по городу, встречали мы с подружками рассвет.